Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Everything is Time podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today...
I almost introduced myself as you for a
oh,
second.
Oh, really?
So I had to like think about it. I was like, wait, am I Jeremy or Ruby?
Have any of you ever been victims of identity theft?
We could totally pass as the same person.
Yeah.
See us walking down the street, you get us mixed up all the time.
Yeah, they see us rolling, they hate it.
As they do, yeah.
Yeah. This episode is a topic we've been thinking about for a while because it's a question that both we've asked people and also been subjected to some interesting opinions on.
Right. So we've just been collecting data enough to like bring this episode to y'all because, you know.
Yeah, like she has her Nintendo DS, I have my abacus, we're counting.
Right.
Yeah.
PictoChat is just really filled up right now with direct quotes verbatim from these people. So
yeah, PictoChat's a very secure way of securing data. It's like all the data has to go through PictoChat. It's very
right, exactly.
And then if it gets too bad, like oh, there's a breach, we just feed it to one of the Nintendo dogs.
Right. That's why if you're gonna put anything in a time capsule, it should be your Nintendo DS.
Oh.
Just
right.
Can survive everything.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah.
Not sponsored by Nintendo.
But hey, if you want to.
Right.
Hit us up.
We've already talked about Mario. We've already, you know.
I've done my impression of Mario.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's basically the next Mario, Luigi, and Waluigi.
Yeah, the Trinity. wait, Mary Magdalene is Princess Peach. Are we mad at it?
We're not going to redo the Da Vinci Code, but just with Mario characters.
Okay, but Nicolas Cage, but played by Yoshi. Thoughts?
Was that an insult? What was that like?
Just a recast.
What is Yoshi say? What is his like catchphrase?
Yoshi. I think it's just his name, right?
Is it just his
name? I think it's just his name.
Oh, you don't do as good of an impression as Yoshi as you do like Waluigi.
Yeah, I'm only skilled in Italian plumbers, not dinosaurs.
I think Yoshi is a dinosaur. See, the thing is, I'm really hoping that to get Jeremy on The Bachelor because then he can do like that whole Waluigi thing where he has like a suit and he pulls out a rose every time.
Oh, okay. I can go and do that. You can go as Yoshi and poop out eggs.
Why would I be on The Bachelor?
Moral support.
Moral. Oh, what a lie.
You can be the host, but be Yoshi.
I feel like as moral support, it would be like one of us is in like Bachelor in Paradise, and then we just take turns being the bartender every time. Like one of us is a participant and the other one's the bartender.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm here for so-and-so. Moral support.
Right, we just switch out. And they think we're the same person. They don't notice.
Essentially, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just thing one, thing two. Just like, yeah.
Never mind. I was going to make a reference to something from Yellowbeard, but that'd be bad. What? The Mr. Prostitute that puts on the mustache is like,
oh.
Yeah. But, you know. We're not prostitutes.
Just in case you were wondering if we had a side hustle.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as prostitutes.
But hey, maybe one day. Anyway. But yeah, so do you want to introduce the question at large that we're going to try to answer?
Right.
Well, we know the answer. We'll probably answer it and then make fun of people who don't agree.
Right. So take a second and, you know, think about this yourself. Can guys and girls be friends? Simple question.
Insert Jeopardy music here.
Jeopardy.
But yeah, that's the question. Can guys and girls be friends?
Spoiler alert, they can be. In our opinion.
Right, in our opinion.
Not in everyone's opinion, apparently.
No.
Actually, I would say the majority of people who I've asked this question to or heard them talk about it have said that that's not a possibility.
Interesting. I have many questions about this. First question, right? Is that view homophobic?
What do you mean?
It implies that they cannot be friends because it'll always lead to a bond that's bigger than, what, like a friendship? So like 90 Day Fiancé, I guess, happens for everybody. But like, what about like two women that are lesbians?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be homophobic then.
Homophobic in a way. Or it's at least like... very heteronormative.
Yeah, it's very, but also the whole idea of it just...
Oh, it's dumb. I'm just trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah,
oh,
I was
dumb.
Like... I was like...
No. But I was just thinking, it was something, a new thought that I know we haven't discussed, but like maybe it's actually more problematic than what I think it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
interesting.
How does that actually work, though? Like, I'm putting the problems I have with it to the side of, like, is it heteronormative, right? Does that mean just, like, you can't hang out with anyone of the opposite sex?
It's just saying that, like, if you hang out with someone of the opposite sex, there's a high chance that, like, feelings will get involved that are, like, more than platonic, and so therefore you can't truly be in a completely platonic friendship.
But, like, okay, so for example, you're in a workplace, right? You want to be friends with your colleagues.
Right. Well, like, maybe there's, like, a colleague that you, like, spend a lot of time with, and then you spend time with them, like, outside of work, and you guys get really close, and then at some point you guys, like, develop feelings for each other is what the whole, like, idea is.
But arguably be hanging out with more than one, and hopefully you're in a workplace that has a wide variety of people.
Well, I think the idea guys and girls can't be friends is the idea of, like, not in, like, a group setting, right? Like, if you're hanging out with, like, a group of friends.
a random group. You find them on the street.
You just go to the movies. You just walk in with just, like, a random group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You just say, looking for a group.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Looking for a group. You have a sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You at the airport. Right. Yeah.
Where's it going? So not one-on-one is what you're saying?
No, like what? Yeah, yeah. So, like, the idea is that, like, if you hang out in a group of friends, then it's fine. Like, you can have, like, friend groups with, like, you know, guys and girls all intermixed. The thing is that a friendship between, like, if you're hanging out one-on-one with someone of the opposite sex, so then that's when things can become complicated, quote-unquote.
I don't understand this viewpoint. Because then, in theory, these people can only be friends with people of the same sex or of the same gender.
I mean, right? I think the whole idea is that you can be friends with them. Like, you can be friends with someone with the opposite sex. It's just that, like, at some point, you're going to have feelings for them is what the whole idea, like, connotates. It's not saying that you can't necessarily be friends with them. It's you can't necessarily be just friends. Always. For as long as you know them. If you continuously hang out, like, a lot and see them a lot and spend time with them a lot. But then I also think about, like, middle school and high school and stuff like that. And, like, people who said that, oh, yeah, like, the amount of friends I've had who are like, oh, yeah, we're just friends with, like, whoever they were just friends with.
Mm-hmm.
That did turn it into some kind of, like, relationship, like,
right.
You know, as much of a relationship you can have in, like, middle school or, like, even high school. It's like, yeah, we're just friends. Come sophomore year, they're, like, in a relationship. So when people say that, a lot of times it does start out as friendships and then it does turn into that. Honestly, more than 50% of times, it seems.
Interesting. So you're not, like, fully a no to this opinion then. You're on the fence then.
I don't think, like, on the other side of the argument, they're saying it for no reason. Like, I understand where they're coming from, at least. What I... Like, there's parts of this that I don't understand, but we can get into that later.
No, I mean, I agree. I think there are instances where what they're saying is true, in the sense that it does occur that way. Like, it does transition into something else. I don't like the idea that it's, like, a causation thing. Like, it has to happen, or that it definitely right. will happen. I think that's pretty ridiculous. Also, how does that work, like, say, once you marry someone, right? Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to be close friends with anybody of the opposite sex after that?
Right. Well, you just can't be close friends.
That's so...
Idea is that, like, your spouse should be your best friend, and so therefore, like, you going to other people for, like... What am I talking
like
about?
Like, emotional support? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Emotional support is seen as, like, what are you doing? Like, you should be, like, confiding in your spouse in this, you know?
But, okay, plot twist. Divorce rates are pretty high, right? So...
Also, like, it's so strange because it's, like, I feel like when you date someone, you're going to be telling your friends about them, you know? And so they probably, like, already know, like, quite a bit about, like, you know?
Yeah, it would be a red flag if you weren't telling your friends about people. Like, why are you...
if I was like, Jeremy, I'm married now.
Right, like, right. I'd be like, oh, God, this is a midsummer situation. She's in a cult. Yeah, it would be very strange to not tell your friends anything. Also, it's a progression, right? Like, when you start dating someone, you don't know them.
Right.
So you probably know your friends
better. Well, hopefully...
You
well,
say that. The whole premise of dating, I do not think, is based upon knowing someone before
But I'm saying you have a choice, though. Like, you can, like... There's some people who date, and they're fine really not knowing the person, and then, like, just dating and getting to know them as they go.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, you should be friends with them first, but some people aren't like that.
What if they're axe murderers?
I'm just saying that you should...
What if they like Jimmy Buffett?
Same. Like, no, what I'm saying is that, like, I take the approach of, like, I'm going to be friends with someone first before I date them. But some people are totally fine meeting strangers and being like, let's date. And then they don't really know anything about them. I think it just depends.
Well, I think in that case, the premise of, well, you can't be friends with them, but it's going to lead to something else, makes sense, because that's sort of the whole point, the whole framework of that. But the idea that any friendship you have will lead to something else if you spend enough time with them, to me, is dumb in concept. And two, it's also, like, kind of problematic in terms of what I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
But, like, you mentioned you have some problems with it and that you wanted to dive into later. Now is later, so.
So my problems with this is just, like, when you get into, like, a relationship and then the people who claim that I'm not going to hang out with someone if my significant other says that I cannot hang out with them. That's where I draw the most problems from. In the sense that, like, well, okay, well, if in one sense you want to be, like, I say you want to be respectful, but also if I've had, like, people who are my friends for, like, a while and they're like, oh, yeah, don't hang out with them, I'm not going to, like, that's a red flag, I think. Right. But quite a few people are fine just, like, meeting strangers and then being like, let's date. You know, it's like,
no, and I think there are pros to that, too. I think it's very clear what the intent is the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Maybe in terms of, like, a progression of things, it's faster for people. And it's like a clean slate, maybe they view it as too. But again, I don't really know if I would view anonymity and
those things as good things
in that context. Yeah, no. I think that's sort of like a breeding ground for problems. Like, okay, you get married and then you don't know these people.
Right. No, like, I don't think I would ever, like, that's another thing that I don't understand about people who, like, use, like, dating apps and stuff like that. Or just like, oh yeah, I think I like this person. Let me, like, date them and see if, like, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather be friends with them first. Because, like, at least you have, also that's like a foundation. Because if you don't have that foundation with someone, it's like, you really don't know them. But then you also risk, like, if it is a friend, you have to be careful, you know?
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword. I don't know. There's just problems on both ends of this.
There are, but I think the people that try to restrict who their significant others hang out with, those people I'm not huge fans of.
I don't think anybody should be huge fans of that.
People are, though.
People,
and it's more pervasive than I thought it was.
No. I've heard that quite a bit. It's like, oh yeah, like, I have a significant other, I can't hang out with, like, my guy friends anymore. I've had guy friends who, like, stopped hanging out with me for a while because they were, like, in relationships.
Oh, and then they came back.
They were in relationships and they were like, yeah, my significant other didn't like you very much. I'm like, I've never met your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, yeah, well, she wasn't a fan of you. And I was like, okay.
Right.
But yeah, they started talking to me after their whole relationship ended. So that's a problem.
Also on your end in that uh-huh. case, right? How much does that make you want to further invest in those friendships if you know that they can just be gone? Like that.
Actually, okay, so these are people that I, like, didn't, like, I've been friends with for a while, but also, like, I wasn't, like, constantly in contact with. So okay. To be honest, like, I didn't notice.
To be honest, you saw it as an opportunity.
You know, I didn't notice that they were, like, speaking to me less or because of that reason.
Wow.
I normally, like, didn't. That sounds bad. But, like, honestly.
If it's the truth, it's the truth.
So when they, like, told me, oh, this person, like, hated you, and I was just like, I have no idea who this is. Like, which girlfriend is this? Like, like, honestly. No, I mean, it was just like, that's if that's their thing, but
that would make me want to invest less in that friendship. If I know that the friendship is sort of trivial in the grand scheme of things, and it's more like, oh, well, now I've met person number two. We're hitched, so goodbye.
I mean, I can't say anything about that to them. I can be like, well, you have to, like, I can't, like, what are you supposed to say to that?
No, I'm just saying internally, on your end, or mm-hmm. on my end, you'd be like, well, I'm just going to keep that in my mind now. So if there are other people, right, that I have the opportunity to invest in, I'll probably invest in those people and not the person who vacates every time they find a...
Not every time, but yeah, well, I don't know, actually. Well,
if you don't even, like, I mean, you can't tell if they're talking to you more or less, maybe they're doing it right now. This very moment.
You could not tell me. I have no idea. Like, but honestly, I think, yeah, I guess so. I think I'd only been, like, notified about it, like, once from that person.
I received a formal letter.
And so I was like, okay, well, okay, I don't know what to do with this information. But at the same time, I don't think they would do that, though, like, in the future. I don't know. Because it's really strange, because they were like, I stopped talking to you, but also, like, they were also, like, after that, they're like, yeah, but, like, you would, like, come to my wedding, right, if I were to get married. And I'm like, well...
The audacity.
Yeah, so I was just like, yeah, because, like, this one person who they, like, planned to get married, they're like, yeah, like, maybe, was this a fever dream? I feel like they asked me to be, like, a bridesmaid, and I was like, but you were the groom? I don't know, it's very strange. They weren't getting married, though. I feel like they were just planning this,
they like, asked you to be a bridesmaid, but they weren't getting married?
We need to take this out.
No, like, no, it's staying in. So they asked you to be a bridesmaid, no, but there was no wedding.
As a disclaimer, allegedly, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have just had a fever dream about this, but I'm pretty sure that this happened. Anyway, we can move on.
Did you get the dress for it?
We can. No, it's not, it wasn't that in depth. It was just like, I don't really remember. I just remember someone saying something about like one of my guy friends saying something about like a wedding. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a bridesmaid. I'm seeing anything, but like, I've never met her. Also, if you would be the groom in that situation, he hadn't proposed. I don't know. It was a lot.
Maybe it's a TLC show. The groom has bridesmaids.
Anyways, or maybe it wasn't a bridesmaid. Just you want to be like, I don't know. There's something involved with like
the some flower part girl? Of the
wedding, but there wasn't a wedding.
The flower girl. So it was
very
girl.
Theoretical. Flower
girl. The priest.
So
just be the priest, but wear the bridesmaid's dress.
I want to be certified as a priest just so I can conduct your wedding, Jeremy. That's what I want.
Oh, like, I thought you were going, I want to be certified as a priest so I could be a bridesmaid. Overqualified. Maybe. Right. Maybe not.
I would be like the best priest at a wedding, right? If I were like to conduct your wedding, you'd be like, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd be the best priest at a wedding.
At a wedding?
It's like, I mean, maybe I was, not mine. There wouldn't, no, I'm saying like there wouldn't be like competition, hopefully. There aren't just like hordes of priests going to the wedding, right, trying to be the best one.
Right, right.
Say yes to the priest.
See? TLC. Right.
No.
A whole other reason to get into ministry nowadays.
Right. Just
we would have to be a different name, though, because say yes to the priest doesn't sound like a very catchy.
Mm.
Not like say yes to the dress, which is iconic.
Right. I'll workshop it in my mind as we're talking, and then I'll randomly blurt it out at some point if I come up with something. Yeah.
Where was I going? Oh yeah, but some guys just like they're like that. And then I've had like guy friends who tell me that, oh yeah, this like girl stopped talking. One of my female friends, they just like said that they couldn't talk to me anymore because their boyfriend like didn't want them hanging out with like another guy. So and they were fine with that apparently, and I was like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I mean, we have a mutual friend who is very, you know, like very much like, oh yeah, once, you know, all three of us, even if we're like still friends for years, like once we get in relationships, like, you know, we were just gonna all have to go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Which was disheartening to hear. It's like, all right,
there. So I don't know, even disheartening to hear, because I was in person.
I heard it on a separate occasion. We had this conversation.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, I don't remember you being there.
Okay. I was there. I was just outside.
Right. Well, we're the same person. So basically what someone tells me, they might as well tell you. Especially if it's one of our mutual friends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think we're kidding, but like, you think we're
kidding. No, but yeah, I remember that person saying it. Well, you have like another friend too.
Friend of a friend for you, but like my friend, but a friend of a friend. You're still a friend though, but just like a friend of a friend.
Friend detached for me. I know this person exists. Amen.
Maybe you guys will meet soon. That's what I'm hoping.
Unless he finds a mate, then, you know, you'll never hear from them again.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll never hear from him again. It wasn't quite as like set as like our mutual friend who's definitely like that. It was more like a just less you'll hear from me. It wasn't like a if you had to cut off the friendship, where like our mutual friend was very much like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, okay.
And I guess they're just fine with it. I don't know. It seems like
he understood why. Like, he was like, yeah, like you have to like respect your significant other.
But also your significant other has to respect you.
Yeah, but I think it's more like, you know, in like a hierarchy of things, like your significant other goes above your friends, and so therefore.
Maybe this is a byproduct of being only children and emphasizing friendship more. maybe if you view friends as more trivial and you already have like a large extended family.
People with 100 friends.
Right. Well, no, but like if you already have a large family, you already have like a support network. And so losing friends is maybe not as big of a deal. That's the only thing I can come up with to try to rationalize why there's a difference.
Yeah, it's very strange to me because if like someone was to tell me, oh yeah, like when you're in a relationship, you can't like, not even like, there's like a whole set of rules. It's like you can't talk, you can't be alone with that person. Oh, I had another friend who told me, yeah, we should like go on this like trip or whatever, or like do something, whatever. And then he was like, but do you have a boyfriend? I was like, no. And he's like, okay, well, because then I wouldn't have like, we shouldn't have gone outside DFW if you like had a boyfriend. I wouldn't have done that.
So there are geographic boundaries.
Okay, like we were planning to go like outside of like the Metroplex or something. They were like, oh yeah, if you had a boyfriend, I wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere outside of DFW just because, you know, like respect thing of like staying in a hotel and things like that, you know. Basically, hanging out one-on-one with a guy friend is just not a thing if you have, like, a significant other. Also, like, telling them too much personal information. You can't tell your friends personal information about stuff. You're only supposed to be able to go to your significant other for, like, a deep emotional stuff. There's a bunch of rules for that, which is just a lot, you know? Like,
it's also bullshit.
I don't think
What's the point of having friends if you can't share things with them?
Not only that, but like if I have a significant other, there's no way that they're, I mean, they'll know me, but like, I mean, obviously they're going to know me really well, but like also like my friends know me in like a different way. And honestly, the friends that I have known me for like a really long time. So it's going to be kind of like, it's just different because there's some significant others like, get really jealous that like you've known that person for like a really long time or that you're friends with them, and it's like, well,
and that's a red flag.
They're like, oh yeah, like don't, like it just is like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Like,
you can't fabricate shared experiences.
No, but I mean, so the person doesn't want you, like, and it becomes a thing. Like, I know you had a mutual friend who like wasn't very happy that we were hanging out.
Yeah. That's true. Like, they're like, yeah we I remember you and I did a whole we baked a cake, I don't know, when was that, 2020, before the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mentioned briefly, like, oh yeah, like, you and I hung out, and we did this, we baked this cake, and we were up till 4 a.m. icing a cutting board, and it was like, it's a funny story. At least when I, like...
All of our, let me just say, disclaimer, all of our stories are funny stories. Right,
sorry,
but
I didn't mean to imply all of our stories aren't funny. This is just the baking one that's funny.
just the one of the plus.
Right.
Just to be clear, we don't try to make it amusing stories. Normally it just happens that way. But this one was ridiculous because we spent so much time on this cake. I guess you told her that we like baked a cake together.
Yeah, I
and
did.
And she was just like not a fan.
Well, yeah, it was like she would always bring it up when I was in conversation.
Did you tell her about us like hanging out each week?
No, I did. But then she's like, oh yeah, well, did you bake a cake with this person this week? And I'd be like, yeah, we baked a cake.
Yes, every week
we're actually
bakers. We're opening our own store. You're nothing like, bun cakes can't even.
Right. I personally identify as Martha Stewart. She is Gordon Ramsay.
Right.
We great bake cakes. Same energy. Yeah.
Did she know that like we knew each other for a while?
Yeah. She did. So, have you baked a cake with this person this week? It's like, this is a very aggressive question that you keep asking repeatedly. And I know the intent of this question, but I don't understand why you keep asking it. And like, what result you think you're going to get?
What result was she trying to get?
I don't know. It wasn't to join the baking parties that weren't happening.
I would have been like, Jeremy, invite her over. Let's bake a cake.
You would not have been.
I would have done that solely because I wanted to know what this person was like. Because unlike you, I'm very involved in my friends' friendships. So like, you don't want to meet my friends and I want to meet yours.
I have you know she's giving me a look right now because she knows what she just said is bullshit.
I'm sorry, you don't meet my friends? I've offered to let you meet, you know, one of my friends, and you were like, no, Ruby. I would have been fine with this person.
I'm open to meeting a lot of your friends if you have them.
If you have them? Like, if you... Thanks. I love that for me.
That was unintentional shade, but...
Lies.
No, it was. It just comes naturally.
Just insulting me.
You know, it's been said and done that beautiful thoughts... have all been already sung, but
you,
here's another one.
You and my wedding, like, if she had friends, they would have been like...
If she had friends, there would be bridesmaids. But luckily, she's taken on the role as bridesmaid, so she's doing it all.
I just closed myself. So, yeah, no, yeah, okay. I love that unintentional roast, but yeah, we can see who the more benevolent friend is here.
Questionable, but okay.
Mm. No, I would have been like, yeah, invite her over, let's bake a cake.
Okay.
But that would have been interesting, considering she probably didn't like me very much in the first place, so.
Yeah, I mean, this person is not a bad person or anything, it's just like.
Yeah, none of the people who we're talking about are bad people.
No.
With these views, so.
Well, yeah, I just don't agree with the view at all. Yeah, like Barbara Walters.
What?
It was a view. Never mind. The View, the show. The View.
Do you watch The View?
I watch clips of The View.
Oh, okay.
Which I want to go on a whole rant about Meghan McCain, but I won't.
Okay, good. So like.
All I'm saying, replace Meghan McCain with Snoop Dogg. The View would be better.
You can replace, like I said, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg with a blonde wig. Cosplaying as Megan Blunt Kane.
The only person you can probably replace Snoop Dogg in is like. Anyone in the Harry Potter series Will Ferrell as Elf. Like, I don't think that role would work. You could replace
him in the Harry Potter series. Everyone's expendable. He could be Hermione.
Oh my gosh. Nightmare.
Come on, just picture. Close your eyes. Snoop Dogg. Leviosa. See? It works.
Right. Anyways.
Snoop Dogg as Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg as Ron.
Mm-hmm. So I put up with a lot in friendships. Like,
and sometimes her friends just give so much and get so little in return. All my Harry Potter references, she doesn't get any of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and his Harry Potter references and Harky the Helicopter references. The only two references he makes.
I'm experts in both.
I need us to release the clip of us reacting to the JJ the Jet Plane theme song. Because let me tell you, the whole thing was like Jeremy Lee, playback Ruby, rewind, it's Herky the Helicopter.
Justice for Herky.
Also, I am shook that you remembered that name. Because the only one I remembered was JJ. It was the Jet Plane.
See, I'm pretty sure Herky is the name. But at this point, I'm too invested.
JJ? His name is JJ.
Herky.
His name is Herky.
It is?
Yes.
You looked it up?
Yes, I looked it up.
I feel vindicated.
It is Herky the Helicopter.
See, JJ is for like the basic stands. Knowing Herky is if you're like a real fan of JJ the Jet Plane.
Right. I'm glad Jeremy has hit the mark.
Be a Herky, don't be no jerky.
Right. You selling beef jerky in a couple years.
And if times are tough, join OnlyFans and Twerky. It's just the still image of one of those planes. Horrifying, but much like the thought that men and women can't be friends.
Right.
Through line, circle back.
Yeah, right. Hire us for a talk show. But no, there's a lot of like problematic behavior. But I've heard this from so many people, it's starting to be a little concerning. But I think a lot of people view it as a chivalrous thing to do. If you're like a guy who's friends with a girl who has a boyfriend and the boyfriend isn't crazy about you, or let's say the boyfriend hasn't said anything, but like you're still friends with this guy, like I've seen guys try to play it off as chivalrous that they're not going to spend time one-on-one with you anymore.
I mean, if you want to warp it, you could view it as chivalry, I guess.
It boggles my mind because the reality of it is people, right? I know like a lot of people, I think it always goes back to this idea that everybody nowadays is like, whoever you date is like your best friend, right? They fall into like all the categories of like, like significant other, best friend, top of the list. Like you have like no one else. It's like, you know, that's
no, no. I think you're right. I just think it's funny.
So people like have everything wrapped up in this like one person, and then it's just like, just not realistic. I mean, maybe for some people, but those people, I think, would scare me quite a bit if it was. But it's also like my friends know me probably better. Like the reality of it is like my friends probably know me better than like you do. Unless you're one of those people who have like 100 friends who know you on a service level, which some people are.
Right.
Or who they have like 20 close friends and everybody's kind of the same. But like if you have like a close-knit friend group, those friends know you better than like a lot of people. Like even your family, honestly.
That's true.
So it's like, what makes you think that you as my significant other who I've dated for like 4 months somehow all of a sudden knows, is supposed to be getting these deep emotional rants from me for like emotional support? Maybe that's just like a very cynical way of viewing it.
No,
but like
I think it's realistic.
I am more likely, if I was dating for someone for like 6 months, I'm still probably going to rant to my friends about more emotional stuff than, like, my significant other.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine ever not talking to friends about it.
Yeah.
Because there'll be times when you're wanting to rant for emotional support about the things that your significant other does.
Exactly.
And so, and who, like, am I going to rant to? You know?
You sort of just hash it out then there.
Right.
But then also, like, relationships also don't, like...
Divorce rates are high.
Exactly. And the more I see these shows, like... Love Island, Too Hot to Handle.
I'm sorry, 90 Day Fiancé hasn't restored your faith in love?
Not since, what is it? No Neck Ed.
Wait, what? Wait,
haven't
what?
Heard about this?
No.
Wait, I'll show you a picture. He's like, I've seen, yeah. Like, people have reviewed this guy.
Is this like someone from Ed, Nettie?
No Neck Ed, and what was her name?
Has Neck Dorothy? Like, I don't know.
No Neck Ed is iconic. Not a great guy, but he was dating Rose. That's the girl. Or, like, one of the most popular couples. They're not really a couple. Like, it ended terribly, but, like...
Oh, I've seen that person online before. Maybe in, like, a meme or something? Or maybe a video? I've seen that face before.
Yeah. To be clear, his name is Ed, but people call him No Neck Ed. But, like, what, wow. I'm saying is that, like, after seeing these, like, shows, he's problematic, though. Like, these dating shows, like, Love Island, the most recent one, F-Boy Island, like, yeah.
That sounds...
So it's, like, a group of 20-something guys, maybe less, maybe, like, 15 to 20 guys, right? And then you have only 3 girls. And, like, the girls are there. So
what is the purpose of the girls being there? Are they there for love?
Actually, I think there's 24 of them. So there's, yeah, they're trying to find love. There's 24 guys, 3 girls. And so 12 guys are nice guys. And then 12 guys are what they claim to be certified F boys. And so they don't tell them who is who. But, yeah, we need to watch the first episode because it gives you their job and then, like, where they live.
Yeah.
One guy was a Bitcoin investor. And then one guy was childcare / influencer. Okay.
Basically, the gist of what you're saying is you're mad that you don't have 24 F-boys at you at one time. That's what you're saying. That's what I took from it.
What I'm saying is that, like, I've lost all faith in humanity after this show. It just seems, like, so insane because they don't tell them who's who. And so the point is to hopefully, like, you know, fall in love with one of the nice guys because the F-boys are only in it for the cash prize, the cash money, for the money at the end of the
real, the F-boys are only in it for Fred.
So, no. But the thing is that, like, even from watching, like, reviews on this, like, even just the clips they give you, there are some guys who go to lengths to try to emotionally manipulate these women into thinking they're nice guys when, like, their whole, like, interview is like, yeah, like, I don't care at all, but they play it off so well, like, on camera. It's just sad. So, yeah, you know, be careful. Divorce rates are high. Our quote for this week.
I mean, honestly, like,
yeah,
you don't have to get married. Also, no, but I think there's an argument, seeing all those shows and knowing how people are, to, like, dating someone for a very long period of time versus getting married after a year.
Yeah, like, you should definitely, like, invest time in the person you're dating and, like, spend a lot of time with them.
Well, I know there are people that, like, I've met a few people that are like, oh, yeah, we dated for, like, 10 years and I got married. And people are like, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, well, I understand rationally why they would do it.
Right. You know? And then even after, like, people change a lot. So, like, even after 10 years, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think 10 years is long enough to maybe just, like, get married then, but, like...
Maybe.
You know, you have to really be committed to that person to be with them for 10 years. Especially when you're, like, an adult. If you think about it, that's another thing I don't
understand.
When you're
adult versus what? Like, kindergarten, like...
All those kindergarten marriages people had on the playground when they were younger.
Yeah.
No, but, like, even 5 years. Because people can change a lot in 5 years, and then you get married to them, they're a completely different person. You know,
and then what do you do?
Really, yeah, exactly. It's just, you need to, like, really know the person. And I think it's just interesting how people are finding time to do that. But also, like, you never know, because this person could just be really good at manipulating you. And then, I mean, there have been people who've been marriages for, like, more than 15, 20 years, and they have kids, and their spouses are cheating on them.
Yeah.
So it's like, you never really know.
Which is why also your friend support network is important.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it is more just important to us because we're only children.
It could be. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what our message is, we don't agree with the sentiment, I would say, at least for me.
Yeah, I don't agree with the sentiment.
So,
yeah. So just, you know, think about it.
Yep. Be smart. Think twice. Just live, laugh, love.
Everything. That's a true message behind right. Live, laugh, love.
Is the divorce rates. That's the message.
Just... Maybe it should be love, laugh, live. So, like, on the sign, you just have, like, the little heart and then someone looking at divorce rates. Laugh about it. And then you just go on with your life.
That's interesting.
Love, laugh, live.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well, but the purpose of it's pretty good.
Right.
The other way is, like, have you tried living? Did it not work? Laugh.
Yeah. And then love.
And then love. When you're dead?
But if it's live, laugh, love, then it's just live, laugh, divorce rate. Like, you got to give them hope, Jeremy. They had to start out with divorce rates, laugh about it, go on with their life.
Ah.
Right. Love, laugh, live. That's our message for today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that we love, this things movie. Things that
we laughed about.
Did we? We certainly lived after, at least.
Yeah. However, the characters in this movie, I'm not sure. I mean, they did live.
They did.
And they had not one, but many lives, apparently.
Yeah, cats are envious.
Right, exactly.
So, you want to introduce the movie, considering
us being like, thank you for our movie review. Yeah, so this movie was called Mandeo of the Dead, 2018 film.
Indie film.
Right, indie film. No, it's a blockbuster, award-winning...
Steven Spielberg.
Film. Yeah, so this movie, I think it was trying to be a Halloween movie. I can see people watching this at Halloween.
Yeah, I can see people watching it in Halloween. It was supposed to be a comedy?
I don't know. But like, I think...
It's not really horror, and it's not really funny.
The scariest thing about this movie was trying to figure out the plot.
Truly. Okay. Well, maybe we should just like start from the beginning, which starts off with a very confusing family tree. So that's fun.
Right. So it's this guy whose name is?
Have no clue. Mandeo Boy.
Right. So you have Mandeo Boy. And he has a nephew who's living with him.
Yes.
In a tent, though. In like an apartment, which is interesting.
Yes. You build a fortress where you build a fortress, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't established. He was a realtor. I'm actually subletting. No. Yeah, it was very strange that... it was never really... I couldn't figure out how he was the uncle like of the nephew. Because, one, they're similarly aged people. All I know is that the nephew was wearing jean shorts and I didn't appreciate it.
So... The whole, like, plot is essentially this nephew is tried to get his ex back, which you see at the beginning of the movie. She's acting super strange. He, like, proposes to her with a Band-Aid for some reason.
Yeah.
She's like, no. So this guy is heartbroken. And then on, like, Halloween night, like, he takes an Uber to, with like, well, I guess one of their friends is, like, an Uber or someone they met at a party.
Yep.
And so he, like, goes and, like... spies on his ex-girlfriend and he's like looking through the window and he sees this like other guy with her and they're like making out, so he's all sad about it. But then at the same time, right, so this plot is happening, and then so the main character Mandeo, it's already been established previously at the beginning of the movie that he's been having these like weird dreams where he like wakes up outside of his body.
Right.
Well, on this night where like his friend like goes to like spy on his ex-girlfriend or meet his ex-girlfriend or whatever, Mandeo Boy is introduced to astral projection.
Yeah. And the notion is like, if you think where you want to go and when you want to go, you can project yourself there.
Right. Okay. So think of the one plot with the nephew and this girl as separate. Like he proposed, it's not happening, and he's trying to get her back. Then the other plot is the Mandeo kid. He's like, is having dreams where he like wakes up outside of his body and his bathroom like is glowing green and he can't open the door. Then one night, this astral, or like he said, his friend gives him this like drink for like astral projection. And then one night he sees his friend like in this dream also, and his friend's too afraid to open the door. And he's like, well, I'm going to go. He's like, you can do this. You can try to open this door. But if you want to like just meet me or whatever, all you have to do is think about me. And then you're like astral project to like wherever I am, which is how he ends up at that guy. No. He thinks about his friend who has gone to that girl's house to spy on her or like to meet her. And so he astral projects there, which is where he, you know, also sees what that guy sees, which is like his ex-girlfriend making out with a different guy.
Right.
But then what follows is like his friend running, because his friend can't see him because he's astral projecting or whatever. So his friend runs and gets back in his Uber and then goes home. And then this Mandeo, who's like astral projecting, is like on the ground at this point. And then he looks up and sees the guy who was making out with his nephew's ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like that scene ends. And then you kind of just get back this whole scene of all of them just in the house again.
Right.
In the morning, like nothing really ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, the next thing that kind of, that happens, right? I'm trying to remember why they end up at the girlfriend's house, like what purpose they had.
Oh, there was a purpose. I think they just go back to confront her about like kissing this guy, and he just happens to take his two friends or his friend with him, which, you know, like,
I mean, that makes sense.
What?
That you would take your friend with you.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
You would take your friend
with
you.
This was a weird scene, though.
It was really weird because like they enter this woman's house who's not home, and they see that she's been stealing like blood from the blood bank or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, she was a nurse, I think.
She got fired, but she was stealing blood. So, which we later find out that the guy who she was kissing was also like stealing blood for her now that like she was fired.
Yeah.
We'll
get there though. Like, but, I mean, they're snooping around the house, right. and the
only thing Jeremy said this whole entire time was, "Oh, I really like the crown molding."
Well, I mean, it was nice. But they go outside. There's a shed in the back, and they open the shed.
Not they. Well, Mandeo boy
opens the shed and finds the dead body eventually. But they also, he sees the guy who was making out with the girlfriend, who is the dead person, astral projecting. He thinks, I think at first, around him. It's unclear what he
thinks. He's just like there in form, and he's like, open the door to the shed, and Mandeo's like, no, and he's like, yes. And so then he turns around and the guy's gone, so he opens the door to the shed, and it's this guy who just was talking to dead. And so then he's, you know, having, as anybody would, like a complete like reality check, trying to figure out what's happening. And then his friend, who it's his ex-girlfriend, he's walking out. He's just like, he tells his friend, like, look in the shed. And so then his friend looks in the shed. And so then they're both like, well, what do we do? Spoiler alert, none of them call the cops. Literally nothing. But they're also trespassing.
That's why they can't call the cops. Right. Because they would get in trouble.
They left and then they get home, right? And so this guy who's been astral projecting, who is the boyfriend who got killed, he is now in their apartment. And so now they're trying to figure out how to, like, hook up a radio to a frequency where, like, his voice will be like available to all of them. Oh, I
forgot about this. Yeah, there's some... Well, I'm forgetting how they get that information. Oh, because the guy tells them, the dead guy he tells them, hey, you turn the frequency to the radio to a certain degree and you can hear me talk to you. And that's how they communicate. They come to the consensus that there's a way to astral project not only through location, but also through time.
Right. They are time travelers.
So it turns into Back to the Future, kind of. So there's a whole plan that's then, you know, put into place that, hey, we're going to go back in time to the exact time that the guy was killed, and we're going to see what happens.
Although it is confusing because I think they both drink that substance. Like, him and his friend drink the substance. They both astral project, but only his friend ends up going to the house to try to save him, where he ends up also getting killed, is what happens the first time. Because the other guy falls into... Oh, yeah. This other guy is getting, like, temporary paralysis from this drink. This Mandeo kid. So his friend goes and tries to save the guy who was killed. And it doesn't work. He comes back and he's like, well, I died also. So now this Mandeo kid has to, like, go back and save both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is essentially what he does.
Right.
Which is strange, though, because, like, the whole resolution to this was that, like, they tie the woman to...
She's a vampire. Oh, yeah. We need to establish
she's that. A vampire, right. If you couldn't have guessed from, like, stealing blood and drinking blood and things like that.
Well, I was confused because there was other food in the house, right? I think there was. There was not a lot of, like, we were talking about this earlier. There was not a lot of lore behind her being a vampire other than she drinks blood.
And can't go. She's allergic to sunlight.
She's allergic to sunlight, but then she goes outside.
Right, she does go outside, but it was just sunglasses or whatever. So that was really strange.
So I didn't really. I mean, I remember early on you were like, I bet she's a vampire. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. And then as she was going outside, I'm like, oh, well, maybe she's not. And then she was. And it was kind of like, okay, I guess, sure. And that, you're right, the resolution, well, they have a whole fight scene.
A whole fight scene, which is atrocious. And maybe that's too mean. They have a whole fight scene, which was something.
No, it was bad. You can say atrocious. It was not good.
And then, like...
This is baby mad. The resolution.
The resolution was they tied her to a chair with the documents that she stole blood next to her, and then they left.
Which, okay.
Oh, no. They called 911 on her phone and just left it on the table on speaker and then left.
Which, okay, multiple questions. One, the documents are from the hospital. They're probably already public. It's not like they're leaving some new information for police to find. Two, if I were her and I were tied to a chair and 911 was called, it would look like she was attacked and tied to a chair. And then all she would have to do is say, well... these particular people came into my house, tied me to a chair, and then left. So I don't understand how that was the resolve that made it to where, like, yay, we won, she's defeated. It's like, if anything, you made it to where she had the perfect scenario to where she could say everything, like, was bad and was your fault.
Right.
Does that make sense, or am I crazy?
It does. It makes sense. It was a confusing ending. But that's not really the ending.
No.
Because then, like, they go home and everything, and everything's fine and whatever. And then, like, Mandeo has, like, another dream. And, like, he dreams, or, like, astral projection, right? Like, the green door, we finally realize, like, it's his father?
Well, his father comes out of the green door and says something along the lines of, like, the people on the other side have questions for you or something.
Right. And so then, like, that's the sequel, I guess, is, like, him dealing with that.
Well, you claim there is a sequel, right?
Like, there is. There's already been a sequel. It was 2020.
Interesting.
Mandeo Returns.
That's very, like, Manos Returns.
It is, yeah. I don't know where to put this because
I kind of know where to put this.
I really wanted to like this. I just really did. This was suggested, like, under movies related to Willy Jamali and the Cacacoon, which it's not the same thing.
But it makes sense. Indie movie, parody, comedy.
Right. It makes sense why it was suggested like this, but it was just not the same vibe.
No.
And, like, I wanted this movie to be either, like, it needed to pick a genre.
Yeah.
And a plot. Because, like, it was a little confusing. Maybe just more explanation. But at the same time, if they gave us explanation. Maybe more, like, I don't know.
The plot just needed to be changed.
Right. There was too many things happening. Like, vampire, plus trying to get back an ex, plus a guy getting murdered, plus this astral projection stuff. There was just too much to do in however long it really was.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe it would have worked if it was longer and you just had more time to, like, really flesh out the other plots, but it felt, like, too rushed for each of the plots.
Also wasn't a super short movie, though. Wasn't it, like, an hour and a half?
It was 74 minutes.
So hour 15? Like, that's not a super short movie. They had time.
Right.
Honestly, the plot, in my opinion, just needed to be fleshed out. They needed a new ending. They needed a new resolve for the girlfriend. Because it made absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
That was the nail in the coffin for me, if you pardon the expression. Like, this is... Like, I don't understand. If anything, that's the opposite of the resolve you would want. I don't understand.
Right. It has 4.5 stars on Amazon Prime.
So, yeah, I can see... I guess I can see why people would like it. Maybe.
Yeah, people are, like, funny and charming. No dumb moments.
I didn't find this movie to be that charming.
I didn't either. I was more confused.
Yeah.
I would rate this maybe like a, I was too confused for it.
What were the upsides of this movie? Like, what's stopping you from automatically giving it a low rating?
Oh, I'm going to give it a low rating. Okay. I'm probably going to give it like a 3 out of 10. Just because I kind of enjoyed the friend who like helped him astral project.
He's the best character. The friend who helps astral project is the best character. And he's only there for like 3 minutes of the entire movie.
Honestly, if this movie threw away all the other plot things and it was just about him trying to astral project, that would have been a way better movie. Okay,
let's try to fix this movie. What if the whole plot was, you know, all that stuff is gone, but most of it is just like the process of learning how to astral project and the tomfoolery that happens with that character and Mandeo boy. And then they mess with the nephew.
Right. That would have been everything.
Hello.
We fixed it. You're welcome.
Right. Get rid of the vampire girl. No one cares. But actually.
Or the unicorn Uber driver. Unicorn girl. Not the actual unicorn. Girl Uber driver, yeah.
Well, unicorn girl Uber driver at least was more appealing than some of these characters.
Yeah.
You know?
There's only like 5 characters though, so I don't know what you mean by some of these characters.
Then the main characters. I didn't find Mandeo boy to be very endearing. I didn't find any of the main characters to be that likable either.
Yeah.
I think the nephew was supposed to be endearing in like a quirky, charmy way, but I didn't really connect.
Yeah, I think he was supposed to be like I'm trying to think of like an equivalent.
Like Napoleon like Dynamite? Like
a Joey. Oh.
Joey Graceffa?
In France. Like I don't know about Napoleon Dynamite. That's another movie maybe we should review at some point.
I haven't seen it in years.
I haven't seen it in years either. I only remember seeing it when it was like super popular. Or like...
Probably after it was popular.
Well, but it came back for a while and like people were like really liking it again. I feel like Napoleon Dynamite is one of those movies that comes in waves. You know? But yeah. I would probably give this a 3 out of 10.
No, I think 3 out of 10 is fair. I don't think it's bad enough to be a 1 or a 2.
No.
Because it had moments that were all right.
I mean, it wasn't Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny, which was...
Would I rather watch Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny in this movie?
I would rather watch Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny, 1, because I don't have to think about the plot a whole lot.
There is no plot.
Because it's the audacity for me with that one.
Well, you already know 20 minutes of the plot.
I'm 100% going to make us watch the Thumbelina version, so you better get ready for that.
No. But yeah, I agree, 3 out of 10. I wanted the movie to be better, too, because you kind of root for the indie films, you know? I feel worse about giving this a lower rating, but...
I really wanted to like it, so...
Yeah. Maybe the sequel's great. I don't know if we really want to watch the sequel at this point, do we?
We'll read the synopsis and then decide.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I mean, if you like... I don't know. There's a lot of, like, I don't know. Like, go watch it. Part of me is like, go watch it because it's an indie film. But then part of me is like, but it's at the same time, like, it was just so hard to figure out the plot.
There are also a lot of indie films that would maybe be a better use of one's time.
Willy Jamali and the Cat Cocoon.
That's one. But there are many others, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
But that's the first one that comes to my mind because I'm like...
I don't know if I would recommend this at all because I also don't think it's a movie you can kind of just have on the background and not pay attention. We were paying avid attention and did not know what was happening. If we were just casually paying attention, I would have no idea what was happening.
Literally none, you know? So, yeah. I don't know if either one of us would really say go watch this one, but that's our movie review for today.
But yeah, I guess we should move on to the book. Passage review.
Right. Okay.
Book advice. Yeah, there's the word.
Right. Review.
Book review.
Okay. Okay. But tonight, when Dad got home from dinner, he looked really mad. Is he not eating dinner at home? Okay, maybe he didn't. He plopped the newspaper down in front of me on the kitchen table. And there was the picture on the sports page. A blown opportunity. Red Sox goalie Gregory Heffley takes a break from the action as a 50-yard kick by Demon Dogs midfielder James Byron rolls in. The score ended the Sox bid for an undefeated season. So it's basically this. So picture this. It's just like Gregory, right? Greg just sitting with a dandelion like on the side of a field not being the goalie. While a goal goes in. And that's published in the paper.
Oh,
so
that's
his
fun.
Dad was like kind of mad about that.
Advice from that.
Right. Some people aren't sports people. That's all I'm going to give you for that one. I mean,
we can't relate.
We would be the person being like, oh, look, a dandelion. Yeah, you know, I feel like if you see someone who's like not enjoying sports or whatever, I feel like it's just maybe don't push them harder, because I've seen people who like they get so mad at their friends or people who don't like sports if they're on their team. And it's just like, can you chill? Like, not all of us are like sports people. So, you know, just be gracious with those who aren't sports people if you're a sports person.
Yeah. Sounds like good advice to me. Mm-hmm. The question is, can I give any decent advice from this book? I don't know. Like I said, I really depend on the boost I get from that sugar. I almost fell asleep in Mr. Watson's class in sixth period, but luckily I snapped awake when my head hit the back of my chair. Advice from that. Direct advice is don't rely on sugar to get you through the day, but I'm also not a dietitian and am not really qualified to offer that advice. Also, I drink lots of coffee, so I really am not qualified to get that advice. Not with sugar in it, though. That is, okay, here's the advice.
Oh, no.
Here's the advice. Like, when you drink coffee, try without sugar. And if you have friends that, like, make you coffee, right? Make sure they put coffee in your coffee.
Oh, those shots are fired.
And maybe just, like...
I make amazing coffee.
She makes Jeremy amazing...
appreciate she makes amazing, in any shape, sense, or form.
She makes amazing beverages that may have a pinch of coffee. Think, like, milk caramel, but, like, a little bit of coffee.
When you're living up north in the freezing cold and you want a cup of coffee and you think, oh, Ruby's caramel coffee would sound good right now. Uh-huh.
I can just take a gallon of milk and put it in the microwave.
Not the same. The audacity. Yeah.
Ruby's just a real fan of warm dairy.
Jeremy just doesn't appreciate the different forms of coffee. Caramel macchiato, caramel brulee latte, things like that. He's just like, I just want black coffee like my soul, no sugar, like my personality.
I mean, yeah.
No denial.
No denial at all. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
So yeah, just don't feel the need to put so much sugar in your coffee. And if friends try to peer pressure you into doing so.
When have recognize
your own self-worth and the value you have in having black coffee.
That is a fill in the blank statement. Jeremy has used that to get through his whole friendship with me these past 12 years. Just like take out coffee and stuff and throw it in with anything else and it works. Recognize your own self-worth with blank. 13 years of friendship. Almost 13 years of friendship. And he uses that phrase continuously.
Wow.
For all those times I peer pressured him into
drugs. Prostitution. All the things. When you tried to pimp me out for a sack of potatoes, I remember that.
A sack of potatoes? I was like, it's like, what kind of potatoes are we right. talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm only interested if they're waffle fries.
I remember the time when Ruby pimped me out outside of a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, the layers to that.
Also, like, Chick-fil-A, yeah, the homophobic chicken palace, they can shove it where it doesn't shine. Anyway.
I did not pimp him out to Chick-fil-A or like, you know, endorse drugs or prostitution. If anything, he has been the bad influence on me throughout all these years.
You say that, but I drink normal coffee. You drink milk that's warm. If anything, I'm showing you the true way to cold dairy.
To cold dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is like good cop, bad cop. Like,
right.
I'm bad cop and you're the good cop.
Right, like when we go and interrogate criminals, you're like, I like warm milk, you like cold milk. We'll bring in some oat milk for backup.
We're very great detectives.
Yeah, yeah. The milk brigade has really caught a lot of criminals outside of Chick-fil-A's.
Outside of Chick-fil-A's. Only solely for that purpose. But, no, like, drink your coffee however you want to. You don't have to listen to Jeremy's advice on this one. No. We do not endorse this advice. This is a just Jeremy situation.
Anyway, I guess that's our episode. Oh, anything we should plug?
Right. Go follow us on Instagram at Everything Is Tyne.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter at Everything Tyne. YouTube at Everything Is Tyne. TikTok at Everything Is Tyne. Of course, follow our podcast and listen to more of our episodes. Mm-hmm. Oh, and our personal account at Ruby and Jeremy on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The account of all accounts.
Right. Like it says in the bio, we're ready for our TLC show.
Yeah, we gave TLC some great ideas earlier in this podcast, so...
Right.
It's kind of a personal attack if we don't get contracts by the end of the week, I would say.
I honestly think we'd be... You know, we would be... What if we were just the hosts of, like, Love Island or something? I feel like we'd be pretty good at that.
That would be fun.
At hosting.
Yeah, at hosting. Not participating.
No, at hosting, we'd be really good at it. At participating, we would be trash.
Crash but, like, and burn. This is Love Island. I will walk into the ocean. No. Right. Yeah, but that's the episode.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. And have a great week. Bye.
Okay, I was like, what are you waiting for? It's like, what?